Off the ball
breakfast
with Optimum Nutrition. There's more of you in you. Unlock it with the world's number one sports nutrition brand.
It's back.
Number one, straight up, top of the list, no questions asked, Cora Staunton.
OTB's Mount Rushmore.
Look, Casey. Yeah. Are you going to get over Casey?
All this week on Off the Ball Breakfast.
Yeah, don't let the Mayo sting there sway you. This has not yet been decided. Kathleen, what's the format this week?
So every day this week, we are going to be looking at a certain area of sport. Today, it's football, and we are going to get experts in the field to tell us who would go on their Mount Rushmore. And then on Friday, myself, Jenny Claffey and Sarah O'Donovan will pick from the shortlist to
and
have.
Who has the final say, Kathleen? Who do people need to send bribes to this week?
Well, myself, Jenny or Sarah would be very nice. It will be obviously a very unbiased Mount Rushmore. And I totally won't be taking full control over the whole thing and overruling both of them in their decisions.
There was some lobbying going on behalf of some of our friends and colleagues in the past. So you just want to make sure that you're immune to it. To that end, we're delighted to say Sue Ronan is with us to lend us her considerable expertise when it comes to Irish football. Sue, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm well. How are you all doing?
I think this one's relatively straightforward for at least about three quarters of it. We heard a clip there of Olivia O'Toole, and Phil was talking about the 54 goals that she scored in 130 caps. Many of us won't have had the opportunity to see Olivia O'Toole play football, but she's a trailblazer and a superstar.
She absolutely is. And before we speak about Olivia, I'm not sure it's as straightforward as you think. I've had a few sleepless nights thinking about it, I have to say.
Right.
I didn't want to do an injustice to anybody. But look, going back to Olivia, and I'm laughing when she thought that 20 goals was close to her 54. I mean, what a player Olivia was. I had the pleasure of playing in midfield with her for the last couple of years of my career. I think Olivia was the first big star of the women's national team. From the time she made her debut in, was it 91, 92, away to Spain, and it was a huge occasion. I wasn't playing in that game, but I think there was a full house. It was 10 or 12,000 people at it, and it was a real eye-opener for our players. They'd never played in front of more than maybe 50 or 100 players, 100 fans, and Olivia scored the winner on her debut, and that really propelled her straight away, to being one of the stars. And what a player she was. I mean, she was just a fantastic player. I think it's safe to say if there was transfer fees back in those days, I've no doubt Olivia would have been our first £1 million or euro player. She was just a fantastic talent.
What was her style of play, if there's a modern comparison to the type of forward that she was?
She's very like Katie, actually, when Katie, was in advanced positions, taking on players. She left-footed as well. She just glided by players for fun, and she played very much in... She played between, I suppose, the wide position and more an inside left position for, trying to describe it. Left side of midfield, maybe, but tucked in a little bit more centrally later on. But she just glided by players, and she could come back and beat them twice if she wanted. And she just had a cultured left foot, It reminds me Liam Brady's back in the day. Of course, we didn't have many female role models then. You didn't have females to compare to. Me being a big Arsenal fan, the nearest thing she was to Liam Brady for me. But yeah, Katie, she'd be very similar to Katie now, or Katie be similar to her in that type of style. But yeah, what a fantastic talent. And if you had Olivia in your team, you were guaranteed that you were going to score a goal or gets if you had a chance, and she took it away, and she isn't the top scorer for nothing. She could easily have had up to 100 goals if we'd had more games in those days, but unfortunately we didn't. But yeah, what a talent she was, and brilliant player.
No doubt that she's on your top four Irish women's footballers, your Mount Rushmore ever.
She absolutely is, yeah. And if you're looking at it in chronological order, which I've tried to do, yeah, she'd definitely be my first selection. I think she's, I suppose I'm trying to look at it, who have been the most important people or the, in terms of the game here. And I think Olivia is that first star that we had and that first really, really, really talented player. And it was just a shame times were different because, as I said, she would have gone away and gone on to have a long, really good career abroad in a professional environment if those opportunities were there.
So keen watchers will realise that Olivia O'Toole, if we're going chronologically, means that there's no room for Anne O'Brien on your list. Does Anne O'Brien just not make the list because we don't know enough about her career and it's almost like a career that's lost to the annals of time?
Yeah, I think so. And it's unfortunate, you know, Anne O'Brien, I think did she play one or two games for the national team? Unfortunately, you know, that was the times that were there. She maybe came along at the wrong time from her point of view. I've never seen Anne play either, but from what I've heard and speaking to other people, likewise, a fantastic, fantastic player. Was probably I think she was our first female footballer to go and play professionally abroad. That came on foot of a touring French team that were here and played against her own team and just were so, you know, they were so enthused about how good she was. They actually asked the manager for permission to bring her on the rest of their tour around Ireland, which she duly went on. And then after that, I think when she was of age, when she was 17, I think she moved abroad to France and had a successful career there from what I gather, and won a couple of titles and then moved to Italy, where she even had a better career. I think she won six titles there with their club in Italy. And Carolina Maracci, who's a really famous Italian player, has played with the national team, coached the national team, coached many national teams around the world. I've spoken to her on a number of occasions and she just raves about Anne O'Brien, and she thought she was one of the best players that she'd ever seen and she played with at the time. So yeah, unfortunately, you know, I think it was lack of funds at the time. There was just no money. There was volunteers running the game in those days and they weren't able to bring Anne back to play. So she never got to play for her country, which was a shame from her point of view and obviously from our point of view, you know, to have that talent. So I suppose from that point of view, I haven't put her on Mount Rushmore, but for sure she deserves a hugely honourable mention, I think, in this context.
It kind of feels like in the context of, say, modern football, she almost falls into the Denise O'Sullivan bracket, where whenever Denise comes and plays over here for Ireland, we recognise how brilliant she is, but maybe she doesn't get the same sort of recognition that a McCabe does because of playing in the US and it being more difficult to watch her play. I was reading some Italian newspapers from around the time that Anne O'Brien was playing over there, not in Italian, I did get a translation, and they described her as an elegant midfield playmaker, adept at reading the game and capable of precise passing, and that she was one of the best foreigners to ever play women's football in Italy, which is very high praise.
It is pretty.
Another Liam Brady comparison.
Yeah. There you go. We actually spoke to Anne O'Brien in 2014, and that interview is going to go out live on the OTB Sports Radio feed, so anybody who has the app or Goal Out Player can listen to that. We're going to play it immediately after the show ends. Here's a quick clip of her talking about being player of the match in Parc des Princes in a 4-0 defeat.
We went in October with the Irish national team over to France to play against the French team, a friendly match over in Parc des Princes in the big stadium.
Yeah.
We lost 4-0, but I got the player of the match after that game.
I mean, you know, the home journalists voting you player of the match when you get beaten 4-0 by the home team in France, they don't really tend to do that unless you're like absolutely ridiculous. And she only played four times for Ireland, unfortunately, despite the fact that obviously she played for a very long period of time. Here's just a tiny another clip of that.
I never was brought home to play on a national team. Okay, I was never looked for. The only time I went home was in the 1990. We played against Holland. When I was home, I played on the national team, okay, because I got onto the national team when I was young. I was very young, I would say 15, because we played against Northern Ireland. We went to France. I played about four matches with the Irish team. And then after, when I went away, I never had the chance to play for Ireland anymore.
Unfortunately, she passed away in 2016, and so kind of didn't get to witness that revival in Irish women's football. And I have no doubt she would have been a central character in the midst of that. So that full interview with Anne O'Brien from 2014, we're going to play out afterwards. So where's next? Where are we going? Are we going to Emma Byrne?
I think so, yeah. I think definitely, as you say, I'm trying to look chronologically, and for sure Emma, I mean, deserves to be up there. I mean, Emma's just a legend of the game, you know. She's had a long, distinguished club career. Probably not so much here, played with Leixlip. I think she started with Leixlip, played with St. Pat's for a bit. I'm not sure what type of honour she won here, but really when she went overseas, I think her first season she went to Denmark to Fortuna Shoring, and that sort of came that transfer came on the back of us putting an underage squad into a club competition in Denmark called the Dana Cup, and Mick Cook was involved at the time, and we were trying to prepare. We knew under 18, under 19 competition was coming down the road from UEFA, and we sort of had an under 16 team together playing friendly games and trying to prepare them for a couple of years ahead, and brought them and entered them into this Dana Cup. I think we won it actually in the end. But anyway, Emma performed remarkably and caught the eye, obviously, of scouts over there and signed for Fortuna Shoring. I think it might have only been one season. I'm not exactly sure, but then she went on, obviously, to have a long career with Arsenal. She's probably, again, after Anne O'Brien, was probably the next player to go abroad to Arsenal. I know Ciara Grant went around the same time, Yvonne Tracy. They worked in the clubs as well as playing. That was sort of part of the deal back then to supplement your income, I guess. But she won numerous titles, leagues, FA Cups, League Cups. Won the Champions League too, which was known as UEFA Women's Cup back then, 2007. It was played over two legs. And I'm from memory again, I think she was player of the match in the home leg. They had won 1-0 away. And I think it might have been nil all at home, but they won the UEFA Women's Cup. But then, when you know, had also a long distinguished career in the green jersey and started off as an under 16 year old. Believe it or not, I actually played a game with her. She was just coming in and I was on the way out. But yeah, she captained the team in much of my tenure as head coach, and was very often player of the match as well in those days, because, you know, we wouldn't have had the team we have now, and we would have been probably under a lot more pressure defensively. International Player of the Year a couple of times, Hall of Fame Award. She's just had a magnificent career on the pitch, and I think off the pitch as well, she's a huge inspiration to the current group, and it's great to see her back involved with them. Role model all round, successful pundit, qualified coach, and I think as well, you know, her leading that fight for better conditions back in 2017, I think it was, you know, that was really her leading by example and putting herself front and central. So I think for sure Emma deserves to be up there.
This is all quite painful. I'm more used to slagging Emma off on the podcast rather than having to say nice things about her, but I obviously agree with everything that Sue just said there. And I think for me, the thing that distinguishes it beyond the very, very successful footballing career is everything she's done off the pitch and everything she continues to do. There were times where we'd be recording the podcast and Emma would say she's 5 minutes late because she had just driven to somewhere in Ireland to go see some young talent that she had heard about who wanted a little bit of advice, or she was advising some young player on what they should do in terms of their next steps. So as well as all the front-facing stuff that we see with her with the national team and then with the strike previously, she's also working away in the background to make football here a better place and a more exciting place for young girls and women, which I think is really important and something that we need. I keep joking with her that we need her to set up an academy here and just have the Emma Byrne Academy that will bring tons and tons of young Irish talent through that we will smash every other team for the next decade or whatever it is.
That actually sounds like something that could legitimately happen. Can I ask you about that game you did play with her, Susie? Did you realise, and was the reputation around Emma at the time, that she was going to become the talent she would become?
Yeah, because I was also involved the last couple of years of my own career. I was involved in coaching with the under-16s to give Mick Cook a helping hand as such, because he was the only coach. He was the national team coach, and then, as I mentioned, the underage was being introduced, and so he was sort of tasked with looking after it all, and he asked myself and another girl to get involved, because maybe we'd shown a little bit of interest in coaching or a bit of leadership or whatever, or maybe because we were on the way out the door playing. But so Emma would have been the goalkeeper on the under-16s when I would have coached them or managed them in a couple of friendly tournaments against home nation countries, so to speak. And you could see her talent straight away. You know, she was magnificent and she learned a lot as well. I know she looked up to Sue Hayden, who was the goalkeeper with the national team at the time and also an excellent goalkeeper. And she looked up to her and she learned a lot from her, and she was the role model for Emma. And Sue would have, you know, shared a lot of her own experiences and knowledge with Emma. So you could see it straight away that she had the talent to go all the way.
Okay, straightforward so far. Katie McCabe is next, is that right?
You read my mind. Yeah, no, for sure. Katie, I mean, she's the current face of the the squad and women's football, I guess, in Ireland. And like that, she's had a really good career club-wise and still has, obviously. Started out playing with boys in her local club, Kilnamanna. Crumlin as well, I think, for a while. Temple Oak before moving to the National League here when that started with Rahini, who subsequently became Shelburne. Won numerous honours. You could see from a very early age that what a talent she was. She was on her underage squads also, her under-19s. During their time here when she was with Rahini, and they actually got her under-19s got to the finals of the Euros twice. I think it was 2014 was one of the years. I can't remember now the other year, but they were beaten in the semi-final by Holland, and actually Vivian Miedema, who's now a club teammate of Katie, scored 4 goals. They lost 4-0 in the semi-final to Holland, and Holland went on to win that tournament. They were just Miedema was exceptional. The Dutch team without her were just an average team, so it was unfortunate we played them in the semi-final. But yeah, Katie got a lot of experience obviously at those underage tournaments, but then left and went to play for Arsenal in 2015. At the same time, I would have capped her for the national team. I think it was in the Istria Cup. She was very much in and out of the Arsenal team, didn't really get a look in early on. And that had happened over the years when you had players moving from the league here straight into a professional environment, and the difference in, you know, the needs, the fitness needs, the strength and conditioning, all that type of thing. They just found it a little bit tough to get used to that adjustment. And she was loaned out to Glasgow City. I think there was a suggestion that the coach at the time was going to even sell her or let her go. But anyway, she came back from Glasgow. I think that coincided with a new coach with Arsenal too, which was good for Katie. But she came back a better player, probably fitter player from playing. And it's just, she's just gone on from there and has won so many things with Arsenal, honours with the club and individual stuff. You know, I think she was player of the season last year. She's been regularly on the WSL team of the year. She's had goal of the season last year. She was nominated for the Ballon d'Or. And then, of course, her career at the national team. She was named captain very young. She's our youngest ever captain. First captain to lead us, I guess, to a finals at the World Cup, scoring up that goal, the Olympico, our first goal at a finals. And she's just been the star of the team, herself and Denise O'Sullivan, I guess, you know, for the last 3 or 4 teams. She has driven us on in many games over the years. And yeah, she was instrumental, of course, then in pushing for that equal pay too. So she's just a talent of a lifetime, I think. And I'm looking forward to seeing what more can come from Katie.
These are obviously difficult conversations to have, but is Denise O'Sullivan not a better footballer?
You know, yeah, I've had this discussion, and obviously both of them played with me. And when Denise plays central, she's definitely, you know, she's your creative player. And I've said this before, I'd like Katie to be more advanced because I think we get more out of her in terms of creativity. They're slightly different. They're both excellent players. Denise is also an excellent player. I think Katie's there by virtue of all the other achievements, you know, the club, the captaincy, the underage successes, the, you know, being the face. Denise, it was a difficult one. She definitely deserves an honourable mention also. It's difficult not to have her as one of the faces on Mount Rushmore, but yeah, they're equally brilliant players, both of them, and they have been for Ireland.
Because is Katie McCabe going to make your very, very short list for the final?
I don't think so.
Okay. Would you have had Denise ahead of her on yours?
I was 50-50 between the two of them basically until about half an hour ago when Sue and I were chatting about this during the show. But I think for me, Katie edges it, as Sue was saying there, because of the equal pay side of things, because she captained the national side, because individually she's kind of done a bit more at a club level at this stage, I think, than Denise has. Now, admittedly, that is, it's kind of harder because Denise doesn't have the opportunity to, say, play in the likes of the Champions League or to have those big European nights in the Emirates in the way that Katie does. Maybe there is also a little bit of Arsenal fan biasry in me as well.
Okay.
Which I totally admit to. But I think and captaining to the World Cup, I think all those little things edge her a little bit ahead of Denise, even though I would probably agree with you that Denise is technically the better footballer.
Okay.
Yeah.
fourth place, then obviously Denise is in the running for that. But we've talked about Anne O'Brien. Niamh Fahey, we haven't talked about yet. What gets Niamh Fahey onto Mount Rushmore for you, Sue?
I think Niamh Fahey has been one of the best players we've had over the last 10 years with the national team. I think she's been one of the most underrated players, but she was always one of the first on my team sheet and probably on the team sheet of a lot of the coaches. She's had a brilliant career, club and international. When you see her coming back there last week or 2 weeks ago against Italy, she hadn't played for months and yet fitted in seamlessly, was one of our best players. She was a leader on the pitch. She was, you know, leading, coaching those around her, inspiring those around her. You could see then that gap when she didn't play in the Wales game. But, you know, Niamh has just been a fantastic talent. She had a career here with Salt Hill Devon. She started off with, and they've produced an awful lot of Irish internationals, Maeve de Burka, Julianne Russell, Dora Gorman, to name a few. Moved to Arsenal then a little bit later than the Emma, Kira and those guys. But she, again, she's won numerous honours. And Niamh is very much from a GAA family. Her brother, I think, won an All-Ireland with Galway. Niamh was on the Galway team. And when she was playing, when I was the underage coach in the noughties, Niamh was just starting to play both. She was playing soccer and Gaelic, and it was tough. Like, I lost her for some important games because she had to go and play a Gaelic game, or she wanted to go and play a Gaelic game, and of course you didn't want to block that. She subsequently won an All-Ireland with Galway, and I think while she was playing football with Arsenal in London, she played with a local team in the Intermediate League and also won an honour. But she was a really talented player. She went to Chelsea for a couple of seasons, where I know she was a very valuable player with them. Also won honours, and then she moved to the love of her life, Liverpool, I guess, in, what was that, 2018 or 2019, and she's captained them ever since. Unfortunately, they were relegated, but won the championship and came back up. But she's been a key member of underage squads before she was promoted to the senior team by Noel King. An interesting stat, actually, you may not be aware of: she represented Ireland in the Youth Olympic Games in 2003. Again, Noel was the manager of that team, and I think we effectively entered our under-17s. We were always able to get around these little loopholes, but I think we lost out on penalties for a bronze medal. Katie Taylor was also on that team, so I think it was that tournament that turned her, because she was very much, will I stay with Gaelic? Will I pursue my career in football? And I think that tournament sort of convinced her that she had it, and that, you know, she wanted more, and, you know, she threw a lot more in then as she got older with football. I suppose she saw that career then, the professional career. Very educated girl, you know, has masters and degrees, but has put her working career on hold to pursue that dream of a professional player. But what a fantastic talent, you know. And when she's not in the team, she's badly missed. Can play a number of positions, over 100 caps. Yeah, senior player of the year 3 times, I think, in her career. So, yeah, for me, Niamh, definitely one of our most underrated players, maybe, but one of our most valuable and important players over the years.
That's why she edges onto my list. It's just that I feel that her career as a whole has been criminally underrated, because we have the big name stars like, say, Katie McCabe, or even if we're looking in the past, the Emma Burns of the world. How many times can we say that we had an Irish player captain Liverpool? You know, last year, whenever the Queen died, it was her and Jordan Henderson standing side by side as Liverpool representatives at a major global event. She has been flying the flag for Ireland with Liverpool in so many different ways over the last couple of years as a captain. She has that history of winning the All-Ireland, which shows she can do it in multiple sports. And when we were at the World Cup in the final game, she came off to let Diane Caldwell come on. And it was the biggest cheer of the evening, or the biggest cheer I'd even heard for any player across the tournament from an Irish perspective, because of the pure appreciation that Irish fans had for her and her commitment to the team. We saw on last Tuesday night, game Tuesday, how much we missed her, not having her there after that player of the match performance. And I just think that she she's such an interesting character. You know, she doesn't seek out the limelight all that often, but has been such a strong leader for us. And that's why I think she deserves that place on.
And she's a very popular character as well behind the scenes. Like, all the players will talk about her, and she's a character too, it seems, you know, away from the limelight. But you're right, she doesn't seek that limelight, just gets on and does her business, but does it so well and does it so effectively. And probably over the years, because she was so versatile and played in different positions, she even played in goal for Ireland for the national team at one point under Noel King. I can't remember whether we the goalkeeper sent off, and I don't even know whether it was Emma at the time, but it was in Richmond Park, and something happened with the goalkeeper anyway, and Niamh had to go in. And I always remember there was a corner, she went in straight away, it was a corner, and she rolled up her sleeves, had the gloves on, and the ball came across, and she literally just plucked it out of the sky. And I thought to myself, that just looked like her on the GAA pitch, you know, well used to fielding that ball as such. But yeah, what a career Niamh has had. And as I say, always one of the first names on my team sheet, and used to be in a sweat if she wasn't available for me, because she was such a loss.
5 FA Cup wins, 5 league titles.
She actually has a more impressive league record than Katie McCabe does in terms of the amount of stuff she's won.
And in All-Ireland, this is like better than Kevin Moran. I don't... that's an incredible case. So is that it? Is Niamh Fahey on your Mount Rushmore?
Yeah, well, definitely Niamh is on there, yeah. And look, there's a few people that I feel bad not having on there. We mentioned Anne O'Brien. Linda Gorman is another one. Linda Gorman had a long playing career at club level, played for a long time with the international career, or sorry, the international team, was the first female manager with the women's national team, had a long distinguished coaching career in Ireland with Belvedere mainly, both men and women, you know, so she has done some great things for the game. And Stephanie Roach, another one, I think, probably her goal or Puska's goal probably really catapulted the game into that, you know, awareness sphere, and she's had a great career as well. Katie Taylor too, of course. But yeah, I think the four that I've picked, I'm sort of happy with.
If you had to stand over one more than any other, which of the four heads on the hill are you willing to die on, basically, is what I'm asking here. When it comes to Friday morning, there might be one footballer who makes it. Who would it be? Who would you like to see make it most?
Emma, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's had the most distinguished career out of all of them, but that's also not to say that in 10 years' time, if we're doing this again, you could see Katie McCabe or Denise O'Sullivan or Niamh Fahey, who knows, she has no plans of retiring anytime soon, coming back with absolutely sensational careers. Or if they move into coaching as well, maybe Denise's coffee shop will get her on there. Who knows?
I heard that. No, for sure. Right now, I think Emma, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. I think it's not written yet. That's the thing. None of these careers are actually over, and they could all go on to have significant impacts as well. Sue, that was brilliant. Thanks a million for joining us this morning. Cheers.
No problem, guys. Take care.
So we're kicking this off this week, and on Friday, the final decision will be made. We're splitting it up sport by sport, so we'll do hurling, camogie, and Gaelic football. We'll do the Olympic sports. We'll do the athletes. There'll be a bit of controversy about who gets in, who doesn't. That point, and then on Friday we won't be around to take your abusive comments.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partners of the Gaelic Players Association and Leinster Rugby.